Well, good evening, everyone, and a warm welcome to church this Lord's Day evening. As I was saying to a few folks on the way in, the calendar tells it's the month of June, and the weather tells us it's maybe March or April, but we're safely gathered in from the storm for this Lord's Day evening and our worship together. The book of Genesis tells us that the Lord God made man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and man became a living being. We are created beings. We are created in the image of God. And let's sing of our great Creator God in our opening praise tonight. And I invite you to stand and sing in that opening praise. We're going to sing this great modern hymn that we've learned and enjoyed singing together recently, The Splendor of the King. Let's put our thoughts and our attention and our praise to The Splendor of the King. And as we sing it together this evening, we'll sing it through as a hymn and add on at the end a verse from the chorus of How Great Thou Art. So let's stand and praise God. And that same great Creator God is our Saviour God, the one who gave his Son, the one who sent his Son into the world that we might be saved. We're separated from him by our sins, but in his grace and his mercy, he has provided the way of salvation. We are a created being. We are made in three parts, body and mind and soul. And we hear much and we do much to look after our bodies and our minds. But of chief importance is the soul. That's why God's word says, what shall it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world, And gaining the whole world intellectually would satisfy the mind. Gaining the whole world and its possessions could satisfy the body, but it would leave the soul lost. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world but lose his own soul? So let's think of the soul tonight. I know the minister's going to speak tonight a biography on Robert Murray McShane, a man who died young, but a man who had a passion for people as lost souls. He saw through the minds, he saw through the bodies, he saw the soul, that eternal part that is the essence of our being. So let's think about that and sing a few pieces on that theme tonight. Starting with 166, please. 166 doesn't actually mention the word soul within the hymn, but it reminds us what it cost God and what it cost our Savior, the Lord Jesus, to give his life for the saving of our souls. Give me a sight, O Savior, of thy wondrous love to me, of the love that brought thee down to earth to die on Calvary. Make me understand it. Help me take it in, what it meant to thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. We're going to sing tonight the first two verses, please. Verses 1 and 2 of this great hymn. Please, 712, singing tonight verses 1 and 3. O soul, there's the word soul. Are you weary and troubled? So often the answer is yes. No light in the darkness you see. There's light. For a look at the Saviour and life more abundant and free. And then the chorus urges us to do this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Verses 1 and 3.
Yeah.
Number 51, please. I know we've sung it a number of times recently as it has fitted in with a selection of pieces, but we'll take time to sing another two verses tonight. We've talked about turning our eyes upon Jesus. We want him to be our vision. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Naught be all else to me, save that thou art. We're going to sing verse 3 as well. It mentions the word soul. Thou my soul's shelter, thou my high tower, raise thou me heavenward, O power of my power. These hymns help us to have a right perspective in our lives, that while there's plenty around us to occupy the mind and the body, and rightly so, because we live our lives normally and regularly, but we have to remember the importance of the soul. We have to have a fixed view on God, and I trust we view him as our Savior. Verses 1 and 3 of 51. Number 37, please. If we are his, we can sing this and enjoy singing it and mean singing it. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Words from the psalm put into this lovely piece. And again, with that word soul there, each of these pieces mentions the word soul in some respect to emphasize its great importance. Let's sing together tonight the first two verses. We'll just take those two verses together, 1 and 2. Just taking two verses again from 755, please. 755. Isaac Watts' great hymn. Maybe the greatest hymn ever written. And I don't say that, although it is most certainly one of my favourites and probably one of your favourites too. But no less a person than Wesley, who was a writer of great hymns, said that in his opinion, the greatest hymn ever written was this one. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. That's the sense of perspective. Sometimes we glory in the abilities of our minds, and sometimes we glory in the abilities of our bodies. But beyond them is the soul and the well-being of the soul. So we're going to sing verse 1 and verse 4, because it mentions the soul, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Verse 1 and verse 4 of this great hymn. Standing to sing again the last piece in the selection this evening, 521, please, 521. And it mentions the word soul. It mentions the value of a soul in its very first verse. Oh, teach me what it meaneth, that cross uplifted high, with one the man of sorrows condemned to bleed and die. Oh, teach me what it cost thee to make a sinner whole, and teach me, Saviour, teach me the value of a soul. And that should ring in all our hearts and lives, looking after the well-being of our own souls and have a passion for the saving of the souls of others. We'll sing it all five verses, 5, 2, 1.
were great pieces, weren't they? Let's just come before the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Father, as we come into your presence, our hearts have been stirred. We pray that we will have a fresh vision of people, that we will not just see them as people, but see them as souls. Not just see them as people who will die, but as souls who will never die. As souls who will spend eternity in either heaven or hell. And as we've just sung, Saviour, teach me the value of a soul. And we pray, O God, that we will see these things in a new light tonight. That next door neighbour, those people that live in the same street, people that we work with, that we study with, people that pass us by in the street, complete strangers, yet every one is an eternal soul. And so, God, help us to make the most of every opportunity to reach out to the lost, to reach out to the dying, and to have those opportunities in speaking a word for the Saviour. And so, God, we thank you for this praise, and do bless our service now tonight, Lord, the remainder of it. Bless your word to our hearts. And we just thank you for the people who have served you in the past that we can learn from, who are examples to us. And we just pray that we will carry on where they have left off. We will carry on with the zeal, with the passion that their Christ-likeness, their love for the things of God, we will carry on where they have left off in all of these things. So bless us now, O God, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now, just for an introductory reading, let us read the first verses of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken up, so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. By faith, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts. Let me just give the announcements and a warm welcome to you all tonight, and I trust the Lord will bless the subject of our service tonight. On Tuesday night, the prayer meeting and Bible study. We have done two Tuesday nights on the attributes of God. This will be our third night. And last night until September, this is our last Bible study. And next week, then we will be into July. And in July and August, we just meet for prayer. And then we pick up the Bible studies again on the first Tuesday in September. So this will be the last Bible study as such. That takes us to next Lord's Day then. I will be the speaker at both services, 11:30. Hope to start a series on the book of 1 John near the end of the New Testament. And I'll get chapter 1 done over two Sunday mornings before we have holidays. So you can have a look at even 1 John chapter 1, those of you who come out on a Sunday morning. I'd love to see you all at both services, not just once. Our time of prayer, 10 past 6, and then our evening service at 6:30, when I will be the speaker. These are all the announcements, and we'll bring to the Lord our offerings. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, do bless your word that is preached tonight. We pray it will bring great help and blessing to many. There are many people, Lord, who are restless. There are so many who are on the verge of even ending their own lives, thinking they have nothing to live for. We thank you that Christ Jesus came into the world to give us abundant life. The thief comes but to kill and to steal and to destroy life. But Jesus came to give life to the full, abundant life. And we pray that many shall enter into that life tonight. Bless worldwide your work. We pray, O God, that indeed there shall be great blessing. How we have an interest in Kenya and in India, in Brazil, Portugal, Lanzarote with Acre International. And we do pray that you'll bless all of these works that constantly goes on. And we pray that you will bless your servants in these places. Bless those who listen in, Lord, to our services. We thank you for them. We don't know who they are. We just pray that you'll bless them, Lord, and may they be encouraged. So be with us now, we ask it in Jesus' name, these things. Amen. Now we're going to sing a hymn penned by Robert Murray McShane. It's in our congregational praise hymn book. And lovely hymn it is, when this passing world is done. And I remember he died when he was 29, and he penned this hymn some time before he died, in his 20s. When this passing world is done, when has sunk yon glaring sun, when we stand with Christ on high, looking o'er life's history, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. For 4 years now, I have been the secretary of our Congregational Union. And when I took over the compiling of the report, I have got different ones to include a devotional. And this year I did the devotional myself because Robert Murray McShane's birth was the 21st of May, which was our Tuesday missionary meeting. And so I thought that I would just do the devotional myself. I think it's good to look at these people and to learn from them. These are people who lived in the past. It is not a good thing throughout your Christian life to go through it in ignorance where church history is concerned and where knowing about these folk are concerned. And over this past number of years, there have been those anniversaries, either anniversaries of someone's birth or even someone's death. We have looked at Charles Wesley, we have looked at John Wesley, we have looked at Matthew Henry. Next year, it's the 300th anniversary of the birth of George Whitefield. I think John Knox comes in there somewhere as well, either 2014 or 2015, the 500th anniversary of his birth. And so there's a lot of publications that would mention these things to keep these things alive, to keep the memory of these people alive, because we can learn so much from them. I read Hebrews chapter 11 because what is said there of Abel can be applied to these people of the past. It is said of Abel, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Now, even though Robert Murray McShane was born 200 years ago, and he's been dead 170 years or so, he still speaks. You can go to any Christian bookshop, they will have something by Robert Murray McShane. They'll have his biography. They'll have his books of sermons, which make very good for devotional reading. I'll just read what I wrote for our annual report, and of course add in a wee bit here and there. I was 18 years of age when I attended the annual weekend of the Acree Gospel Mission, as it was known then, it's now Acree International, in Castlerin, Portrush, in April 1977, and there was a book stall there, and I bought a small paperback entitled Robert Murray McShane. I'd heard of him. He would have been mentioned and maybe quoted at different services that I'd been at, but I didn't know much about him. And there I saw this biography about him by his friend, the Reverend Andrew Bonner. And I still have that book at home, and I've read it more than once. And what intrigued me was his short life. He died 2 months before his 30th birthday. And I would encourage you to get your hands on anything by or about this dear servant of God, because he will do your soul good. And I hope that what I will say tonight will maybe whet your appetite for more. And just by a way of a simple outline, we can just see his birthday, his testimony, his ministry, his mortality, his legacy. And there will be a few images that will come up as well about him. And maybe we could put an image of Robert and Mary McShane up now. Hopefully that's clear enough for you. But his birthday. He was born in Edinburgh on the 21st of May, 1813. In fact, you can stand outside the house where he was born. It's one of those streets that runs parallel with Prince's Street. And you can just go to the home there where he was born. And like any child that's born, but there are those whom God has his hand on, especially for future use. John the Baptist, for example, it said of him in Luke chapter 1, part of verse 14, part of verse 15, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And that could be said of Robert Murray McShane. Many shall rejoice at his birth. We know about him since he died than the years that he lived. And one has said about his birth, he was one of the blessings which were beginning to be dropped down upon Scotland. Though none then knew that one was born whom hundreds would look up to as their spiritual father. He was the youngest child of five. His father was a leading solicitor in Scotland's Supreme Court of Justice. He wasn't particularly from a Christian home, but he was certainly from a good home. A home that taught morals and civility. Robert excelled at school. He entered Edinburgh University in November 1827, and he's a graduate of Edinburgh University. And he enjoyed the study of modern languages, music, and poetry. He wrote much poetry, and in fact, our closing hymn also will be one of his hymns. He was also very fit. He was never of a strong constitution, but what he had, he was fit. He loved gymnastics. Now, what gymnastics were like in the first half of the 1800s, I don't know. But anyway, I'm sure they took a great degree of fitness. We see his testimony. His brother David was approximately 9 years older than him. David was a very tender and affectionate Christian who often spoke to his young brother Robert about his soul. Now, before Robert Murray McShane was saved, he was just your typical teenager. Whatever the worldly practices were in those days, he indulged. In fact, he wrote in his diary, he kept a diary, and if you get his biography, or even a bigger volume if you want, Memoirs and Remains of Robert Murray McShane that were written after, of course, his death. He wrote on February 16th, 1833, "Many thoughts on the follies of my youth. How many, O Lord, may they be, summed up in one word, ungodliness." And even as a Christian, he looked back in those days that he was not saved, and it brought him much heartache that he had lived in such a way and he had not given his heart to the Lord sooner. Now, of course, in those days, the mortality rate was high, and his brother David died on the 8th of July, 1831, aged only 26 years of age. And Robert was greatly affected by the death of his brother. In fact, it was that death of his brother that brought him to Christ. He wrote to a friend 11 years later, on the 11th anniversary of the death of his brother, 8th of July 1842, he wrote, "This day 11 years ago, I lost my loved and loving brother and began to seek a brother who cannot die." I wonder, is there someone in the service tonight? Have you a brother in heaven who prayed for your soul? Have you a sister in heaven who prayed for your soul? Have you a mother in heaven? Have you a father in heaven? Some other family relation? Maybe a close friend who prayed for your soul? They have died and they have gone to heaven, and you know that. It's wonderful that even though they've died, they can still speak and their prayers can still be answered. David died, and Robert was unsaved. But Robert came to Christ through his brother's prayers and through his death. his ministry. Soon after conversion, he prepared for the ministry of the Church of Scotland, and he was licensed to preach by the Presbytery of Annan on the 1st of July 1835, and there he commenced his ministry, which was only to last for 7.5 years when you think about it. 7.5 years in the parish of St. Peter's in Dundee. And remarkably, when he started his ministry, he was only 23 years of age. I think the word is precocious, when a person just shows advancement in things at so young an age. And right from the moment he was converted, Robert Murray McShane had a love for Jesus Christ and just wanted to share Christ with others. 7.5 years, at only 23 years of age. And not long after the start of his ministry, word got around Dundee of the new minister in St. Peter's. People began to come until a quarter of the population of Dundee was attending St. Peter's. Robert Murray McShane had a congregation of over 1,000 on a Sunday. The Lord blessed his ministry. His devotional life and his study of the Scriptures were paramount to him. I wonder, can it be said of us that we have such a devotional life and study of the Scriptures? He said that one gem from that ocean is worth all the pebbles of earthly streams. He loved his Bible. Just like the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 9, and he was a young man. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Verse 24, your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Verse 72, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. He loved his Bible. He took very careful stock of his personal life. He maintained that a useful life is a holy life. If his life was going to be useful, it had to be holy. And some famous, well-known quotations are credited to Robert Murray McShane. And one of them is this: he prayed often, Lord, make me as holy as a pardoned sinner can be. Lord, make me as holy as a pardoned sinner can be. Now, Christians, we are all called to holiness. And really, the meaning of holiness is separation. God says, be holy, for I am holy. Lord, make me as holy as a pardoned sinner can be. He said about his congregation, the greatest need of my people is my personal holiness. He saw himself as at the front. He saw himself as one who people would look to as an example of the Christian life. And he said to himself, what example am I to the Christian life? I preach these things. What example am I? Am I a living epistle of these things that I preach? And you know something? He certainly was. And he could say, like Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. As I said, he was never of a strong constitution, and even during those 7.5 years, there were times when he was absent from the pulpit for months. And he was some months out of his pulpit in 1838, 1839. But during his convalescence, he received an invitation to visit Palestine, as it was known then, with other ministers, the Reverend Bonner, Andrew Bonner, the Reverend Black, and the Reverend Keith, with the purpose of the Church of Scotland beginning a mission work among the Jews in Eastern Europe and the Turkish Empire. They were away from April to November 1839. And during his absence, William Chalmers Burns, and his image will come up now, substituted for him in Dundee. And William Chalmers Burns was born in 1815, died in 1868, a missionary in China, hence the Chinese dress, which he was dressed like that for the 20 years he was a missionary in China, to identify with the people. A graduate of Glasgow University. And during his time in substituting for Robert Murray McShane, St. Peter's saw revival. Many hundreds were converted. And when Robert Murray McShane heard that, he rejoiced. He wasn't envious, he wasn't jealous in any way. He just thanked God that this was happening in his own church, and he was coming back to a period of great blessing. God blessed in revival McShane the sower. He had spent a few years sowing the seed of God's word. William Chalmers Burns was the reaper. And both sower and reaper rejoiced together. And that's how God's work often works. Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 35, "Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many a missionary in the mission field has labored for years, seen very little results, and then they've moved on, and someone else comes in to replace them and sees the harvest. But there wouldn't have been a harvest unless the first person had sown the seed. It's the same in a church. A man can be in the pulpit and preach for some years, see very little results, faithfully preaches God's word. He moves on, someone else comes in to replace him, and within a short period of time starts to see souls saved. But the work had been done by the person before him. And so McShane was the sower, Burns the reaper. Both rejoiced together. But we see his mortality. Now let's go back to the image of Robert Murray McShane. We see his mortality. He died on the 25th of March 1843, a few months short of his 30th birthday. What killed him? Well, as I say, he wasn't of a very strong constitution. He would have been prone to chest infections and that type of thing. He was one of the many victims of a typhus epidemic that raged in Dundee at that time. His was a short life. But look at the impact that it has had. in 200 years and still is having an impact. President Abraham Lincoln is meant to have said, it's not the years of your life, it's the life that's in your years. And Robert Murray McShane's life was Christ-like, exemplary, holy, influential. And what a challenge to us all today. We see his legacy. His biography and sermons are still available. You can still buy them in Christian bookshops. Most widely read would be Memoir and Remains of the Reverend Robert Murray McShane by the Reverend Andrew A. Bonner. And also from time to time we would sing his hymns, like the one that we've just sung, When This Passing World Is Done. You know, he had a vision of heaven. He lived and longed for heaven. He did not know when he would be going to heaven, but he went to heaven a lot sooner than what he had thought. He had that great assurance. I wonder, do you have that assurance tonight? When this passing world is done, when has sunk yon glaring sun, when you never see the sun rise again, when we stand with Christ on high, looking o'er life's history, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. He was meditating one time on Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 6, that says, in his days Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely, and this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord is our righteousness, or the Lord Tzidkenu. Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Because Robert Murray McShane, like any Christian, realized he had no righteousness of his own. His righteousness were his filthy rags. No matter what he did would not be pleasing to God. He needed clothed in the righteousness of another, in the righteousness of Christ. And as he thought of these things, he wrote the hymn that we'll sing very shortly. I once was a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger and felt not my load. Though friends spoke in rapture of Christ on the tree, Jehovah Tzidkenu was nothing to me. And we'll see what the other verses say when we come to sing it. But this is his legacy. And some of his quotations are worth noting as well, that he noted in his diary. He wrote on one occasion, rose early to seek God and found him whom my soul loveth. Who would not rise early to meet such company? Wonder, do you feel the same, Christian? That moment when you're waking up, you know, do you want to get up and seek God? Do you want to open up your Bible? He put it like this when it came to battling with sin. And as I've often mentioned, mortifying sin, putting to death sin, those sins that tempt. Most of God's people are contented to be saved from the hell that is without. They are not so anxious to be saved from the hell that is within. He meditated upon Christ as being an intercessor, the high priestly ministry of Christ, the one who ever lives to make intercession for us, the one who is continually praying for us and representing us before the Father. He said, I ought to study Christ as an intercessor. He prayed most for Peter, who was to be tempted. In Luke chapter 22, where Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail." He prayed most for Peter, who was to be most tempted. I am on his breastplate. And he had thought of Israel's high priest and the garments that he wore and the 12 precious stones on the breastplate. Each stone represented each tribe. I am on his breastplate. If I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million enemies. Yet the distance makes no difference. He is praying for me. What a lovely thought. What a comforting thought. He said, live nearer to Christ than to any person on this earth, so that when they are taken, you may have him to love and lean upon. And I found this the most challenging. And I have this written down just on the cover, the inside cover of one of the Bibles that I have. He says, as I was walking in the fields yesterday, that thought came with overwhelming power into my mind that everyone I preached to would soon stand before the judgment seat and be sent to heaven or hell. What a solemn thought. Every one of you, every one of the morning congregation, nice people, lovely people to visit, people who would do anything for you. But you'll spend eternity in heaven or in hell. Now, which is it to be? From this moment on, what can you say that it will be, your destination will be? Are you sure that you're a Christian? Have you got that assurance of salvation that you are going to heaven when you die? For Robert Murray McShane, it came at 29 years of age. To some of you folk, he was only a boy. But what a legacy he has left. What an impact he has left. Psalm 112 and verse 6 says, the righteous will be an everlasting remembrance. We are not to forget this dear young servant of God and others like him. Proverbs 10:17, the memory of the righteous is blessed. Oh, teach me what it meaneth, the value of a soul. Robert Murray McShane was taught the value of a soul. That everyone I preached to would soon stand before the judgment seat and be sent either to heaven or hell. And there's an image of his church in St. Peter's. There it is in Dundee. That's the only image I could find. And that is there, and it's still going strong. And the Reverend David Robertson is the minister there now, and who still seeks to carry on the legacy of their minister of nearly 200 years ago. Now, this was one individual Christian life. Robert Murray McShane. What an example of what a Christian ought to be. And you too could be saved and to be such an example in these years of your generation, in your community, to leave a legacy. You too have a birthday. You too can have a testimony. You too can have a ministry. It mightn't be in the pulpit, but a ministry nonetheless. Well, you too will that will soon experience your mortality. When you will die, you will leave this world by some means. And what legacy will you leave behind? Will people talk about you? Will people have you in their memories as someone who loved Christ, someone who loved the place of prayer, someone who loved the Bible, someone who lived the Bible? And will this be still challenging to them? Will they want to become a Christian because of you? The way Robert Murray McShane's brother David was such an example to him. David, who died at 26. Robert, who died at 29. Robert Murray McShane. And may the Lord bless this biographical sketch and what we have drawn from the Word of God. Let's sing another of his hymns then. I once was a stranger to grace and to God. And the pronunciation is Sid Kenyu. Jehovah Sid Kenyu was nothing to me. And Lord, we pray that someone will say tonight, Jehovah Tsidkenu, my Saviour must be. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.